Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Revelation. Now to Pastor Chris.
Revelation 1 today, and the book begins with a vision of Jesus in a whole new light. Now here's a question for you. Does the way you see God affect how you live? Does it change the way you see the world? I think it changes everything. Whether you see God as good, bad, compassionate, capricious, merciful, vengeful, or even non-existent, it affects you. It changes your worldview, your self-image, your other's image, everything. This is why I'm so passionate about the Bible. 1 Samuel 3:21, God reveals himself through his word. The book of Revelation is an unveiling, pulling back the curtain on two things, Jesus and God's plan for the world. Let's pick up at verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. God introduces himself as Alpha and Omega. That's A and Z in Greek, the first and last letters. He is the Lord over all eternity. Why letters? Letters form words, and words form ideas and understanding. God is the beginning, the origin and source, the first building block of our understanding. And he is the end, the ultimate, the final word on all existence. Then in verse 9, John begins his story. He was on the island of Patmos, exiled because of his testimony, because he testified of Jesus. It is about 95 AD, a hard time to be a Christian. Persecution under the Roman Caesars is intense. John is the last of the 12 because they couldn't kill him. He served as pastor to several churches until the Romans sent him to the dry, rocky island of Patmos to die. And yet, God had other plans. Verse 10, on the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. Now this voice surprised him, but what he sees next is awesome. Awesome as in striking awe, that strange mix of wonder and fear. Holy fear. Verse 12, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. What just happened? Who is this? Some of you are saying, I knew it. I told you Revelation was going to get weird, and it just got weird. Hold on. We'll find out in verse 18 that this man is Jesus. I told you we'd see Jesus differently. Now, I don't suggest trying to paint this. The visual is not the main point here, and your painting probably will look weird. The real story here is understanding who Jesus is. There's more to Jesus than meets the eye. There's a lot to take in here, so I'll run through it quickly. Back in verse 12, he shows up among seven lampstands like menorahs. The lampstands represent churches, the light of the world. Jesus appears among the lamps. Son of Man is a title given to the Messiah in Daniel, and the robe and sash are the garments of a judge and king. The hair as white as wool is a picture also seen in Daniel. There God is called the Ancient of Days, with snow-white hair to show it. Jesus is old, never aging, but very old. Eyes of fire. Fire's dangerous, piercing. Fire refines and purifies. Jesus sees with eyes of fire. Bronze represents judgment, and Jesus' feet are like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice is like rushing waters, majestic and powerful. And out of his mouth, the double-edged sword. That's a direct reference to the Word of God. The Word of Jesus is the Word of God, and it pierces. And his face, like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. Now, if you didn't get all of that, that's okay. I don't think John understood it all right away either. But what did he do? Verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." Hold on a second. What did he say? Jesus here is clearly awesome. But does Jesus claim to be God? Remember in verse 8, the Lord God said, "I am the Alpha and Omega." And in verse 17, Jesus says, "I am the first and the last." In chapter 22, Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and last." This is an unequivocal, clear statement from Jesus, among many others, that he is God. And in verse 18, "I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." I love this. Jesus holds the very keys of death. Now, verse 19. Mark this verse. Verse 19 gives us a simple outline for the entire book. It's really interesting and super useful for understanding Revelation. Listen to it carefully. Jesus says to John, "Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later." Notice there are three things to write down. First, what you have seen. That's chapter 1. John saw Jesus. Second, write what is now. Now refers to the present age, the current time period. In chapters 2 and 3, we'll see a picture of the present, the church. There we'll see an overview of the church age and what Jesus thinks of the church, good and bad. And third, write what will take place later. That means the future. That means end times. And chapters 4 to the end of the book are end times prophecy. The Greek phrase used here for later is meta tauta. And chapter 4 begins with the exact same phrase, meta tauta. So chapter 4 kicks off the end times. Got that? What you've seen? Chapter 1. What is now? The church age. Chapters 2 and 3. What will take place later? End times. Chapter 4 to 22. The outline really helps, so I'll remind you again later. Now, one last question. If Revelation is about the future, why should I believe it? It's a good question. Lots of people have predicted the end of the world and were wrong. Mayan calendar 2012, Wacky Preacher 2011, JWs 1914, 1915, 1925, 1975, etc., etc., all wrong. And lots of them tie their predictions to Revelation. So why believe it? Well, Deuteronomy gives a simple test to determine whether a prophet comes from God. If the prophecy doesn't happen, not from God. If it does, could be good. So with all those false predictions that used Revelation, why would I still believe? Think of it like this. What do most counterfeit $100 bills have in common? They all try to look like the real thing. See, there's a reason why so many fakes start with the Bible to make their crazy claims. And there's a reason why so many sane, rational, intelligent people believe the Bible. Because the Bible has predicted the future accurately, hundreds of times. Not enough time to explore all that, just to say the Bible's reliable. The science is good. The history is good. The prophecy is good. Empires, wars, rulers, even exact dates, all told in advance. If you want more, try the book of Daniel, especially chapters 9 and 11. It's amazing stuff. Through the Word can guide you there too. But for now, just know I believe Revelation, and with good reason. All right, now it's your turn to read. I'll see you back here for chapter 2.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.